He catches a simple flare pattern out into the flat, and the cornerback is there, and he just beast modes him, pushes him in the face, not once, twice, and into the end zone. That's Dallas Goedert. Beast.
You're a beast, baby. Necessary for sure. This one? That one? Oh, why not? I slowed down so he could come against all.
That's pretty dope.
How awesome was that? Welcome back.
Come get some.
Midday show. Hugh Douglas show. Julie Hugh. How about that? So that's the little behind the scenes there and the mic'd up Goddard on the sideline. So, Hugh, that's Goddard watching his own touchdown on the screen afterwards, like the replay of it. And he was explaining to his teammates how he slowed down just to get that second stiff arm. That was awesome.
Yeah. I tell you what, man. That was a hell of a play by him. Guy who's coming off an injury. He's been injured most of the season. To come out and be and have a contribution like the one that he had this weekend, man. I expect to see more of that from Dallas Goedert in his playoff series.
So you called that last week. You talked about him as an X factor. And by the way, Nick Sirianni's press conference coming up in just a few minutes. We'll air that live for you in its entirety. Sirianni coming up. Very interested to see what he says about A.J. Brown and his chances to practice this week, today, how they're going to handle that, because he didn't look himself in the game Sunday. But Hugh, you called the Goddard kind of like an X factor last week. And we were talking about this morning before the show. Goddard passed Chad Lewis during the game Sunday for the most playoff catches by a tight end in Eagles history for a career. And you kind of look through the years. And I looked at it this morning because I was like, how did he – because I never remembered a huge Goddard game. Mm-hmm. But when I went and looked, he's consistently shown up in the playoffs. Like, you look at all his career games in the playoffs, and here there's a lot of four catches, five catches. Like, never does he have 9 or 10, but he's always a part of it. And
he's money.
Sunday,
he's money when they give him the opportunity. Yeah. Yeah, I mean –
Well, that was a huge play.
Yeah, it was, man. And I kind of felt like with Jalen – you know, going through what he's going through. Somebody just asked me. You know, we had some clients come through, and they said, what's going on with Jalen? I said, dog, he had a concussion. I mean, I don't know what else to say. He had a concussion because they talked about the point of the game where, you know, he went, I think it was like a whole quarter or whatever without completing a pass or whatever it was. But I'm like, we won the game. And I expect him to be better next week. We get caught up on some of the smaller details, in my opinion. And that's okay, because that's what we do as fans. That's your God-given right to do as a fan. But the bottom line is we're advancing. Now, if the reason why things don't go the way we want them to go, and he's the cause, then that's the conversation we will have. But Jalen did enough for us to win and advance last week. That's what he did. He you know, did he leave meat on the bone? Yes. Could he have done more? Yes. He probably could have played a little bit better, but he played well enough for us to win, and that's all that matters.
It is. Let's get to Nick Sirianni, his press conference right now on WIP.
Anything tangibly that you've seen that shows the improvement since last time you guys faced off?
You know, anytime you played a team as long ago as we played them, there's going to be things that have changed. And there definitely is. You know, they do a couple different things on defense, making it hard on you, making it challenging on you to predict what's coming. But yeah, Chris Shula's done a really good job coaching the defense. And again, they got really good, really good players, and especially on that defensive line. It's a good front that's playing really good football right now. To say they've, you know, exactly what they're changing, I'm not going to kind of get into that, but you know, they obviously have some changes, just like we have some changes since last time we played them.
Yeah, what was your message to the team this week?
Talked about again the consistency of what's important, and our tough, detailed together is always going to be important. And then also we talked a little bit about, you know, embracing adversity in playoffs, in playoff football. You know, and just in the NFL in general, like, you know, there's going to be plays that when you're in a game that they're going to make, and even with your best efforts, they still could make the play. So how do you play the next play mentality? And again, that's something that we've focused on a lot all year is next play mentality. We're saying this week, embrace the adversity. And that's really another way of saying, hey, play the next play.
You got to work with Chris and with the Chargers. It's been a long time. Do you know anything? Do you have a foundational, like, sort of understanding of what he is as a coach?
From my experience with him at the Chargers now, you know, we've both been a lot of different places since then. Obviously enjoyed the relationship I had with him while we coached together, still consider him a friend. Obviously think he's a very good coach, and he's doing a great job this year. But to say anything like not really as far as that goes, because again, his philosophy has continued to develop. My philosophy is continuing to develop. So, you know, it'll be a different handshake because I know him well. But that's about it.
Vic Fangio said that Jeremiah Trotter Jr. could or will get some playing time with N'Kobe out. How important was it that Jeremiah got that final regular season game and all that action, and what did he show you?
Yeah, I think that was important for all our guys to be able to get that. We had the opportunity, just like the Rams did, to give ourselves a bye week on the, you know, however you want to say that, to give our guys a rest. At the end of the regular season, and with that comes opportunity for other people, you know, that are backups, and it was really important for him. He played a really good game, you know, it was all over the stat sheet of what he did, and then all over the field. And so, you know, I feel really good about the linebacker room. Obviously, bummed about N'Kobe, but feel really good about the guys that are going to be able to step in and play in his absence. And just can't say enough about, you know, Trot and Oren. And Bobby King and Ronnell Williams, getting those guys ready.
In an overview of the offense this year and Jalen's role within it, I mean, 2 years ago versus now, 100 pass attempts fewer. You called the game manager notion bullshit with him. I mean, how much has he embraced this role in the offense, and how much of it was from input that he had throughout the year?
You know, again, it's to look at it a whole season like that and say we have 100 less passes. Yes, that is the truth, right? But games go differently. The way, you know, games were last year are different than the games were this year, right? And so we have been in some situations where we haven't passed the ball in the fourth quarter of a lot of different games. So I think that's, you know, and I think that's kind of hard to see that number. It's an astonishing number when you say it like that, but that's over a course of 17 games, and also again knowing that some of these guys didn't play in fourth quarters, and we didn't throw some in the fourth quarter. But again, I to answer your question, I think what we do is we do whatever we need to do to win each and every game. And so if that means you're in a 2 minute to end a game and you got to throw it like we did against New Orleans to get the ball down into the position to score, you do that. If you're in a position where you're in a 4 minute at the end of the game and you're running out the clock, to do whichever you need to do to win the game in that particular one, and you're running it well, then you do those things. And so I think that's just the nature of how that's went. And again, I think anytime that you have won whatever 13, 14, or 14, 15, whatever it is, your quarterback's going to be playing well. And Jalen's been playing very efficient. You know, he's taking care of the football. He's playing very efficient. He's playing great. He's playing really good football. You know, I know that the stats don't look, you know, the same way because of different circumstances, but I think Jalen's playing really, really good football at this stage of the year, and excited about his opportunity of what he gets to do on Sunday.
Nick, you protecting the football you mentioned with Jalen. How did he go from having 25 turnovers over a span of 20 games or so to only just maybe, I think, four over the last 14?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, isn't it? It's
happen.
Yeah, pretty impressive by him of you know, being able to lead us to wins while also taking care of the football. That's not an easy to and be explosive and still take care of the football. That's not easy to do, because we talk about that a lot. How do you win the double positive? How do you win the explosive play battle? And how do you win the turnover battle? You know, and everybody's got hard jobs. That's a very hard job for a quarterback, to be able to create explosive plays and do the things that Jalen's done while also taking care of the football with running it and throwing it. So just unbelievable effort and concentration on his part of going where the right place with the football, while also when he is a runner, protecting the football like you know, Saquon does, or like you know, AJ does. And so I can't give him enough credit for that, because that's very difficult, and it's really, you know, when you win the turnover battle in this league, and it really dictates one of the best stat indicators of what's going to happen in the game. And so it's really just great job by him putting our team in position to win each week because of how he's taking care of the football.
At the combine last year, one thing Howie said was that you guys looked after last year and said you need to play young players more. Have you been more deliberate in that, or especially as injured replacements?
Yeah, I think we've played a lot of young guys. We're young on defense now. At this point of the year, when you're 17, 18 games in, you're like, okay, the experience is there. They've played a full year of football. Now we're into playoff football. But I think at the end of the day, we always owe it to ourselves to play the guys that best give us a chance to win. And I think it's just the nature of it that these guys have given us a chance to win. And they've gotten better as the season has went on. And so, I wouldn't say any extra. You know, it's worked out that way, and I'm happy that it has.
Saquon's closing in on 400 touches. What have you seen from him as far as the way he takes care of himself and, you know, his fitness level and how he's managed to navigate the season and play at a high level?
Yeah, he does a lot of things just to get himself ready each Sunday, both mentally and physically. And I think, you know, he's an ultimate pro that you know, knows how important that it is that he's in great shape, weighing what he needs to weigh, working hard in the weight room to do the preventative things, the prehab, the post, the rehab stuff. And so he really does a good job of taking care of his body to get himself where he can touch the ball that much. And that's a group effort. You know, I can't say enough about all the guys that work with him as well. You know, the strength staff, the training room staff, the doctors that all work with him to make sure he's on that, on that path. And so there's some things too with Saquon that, you know, you'll have load management throughout the week to get him ready. I think you guys have asked me of that a bunch, and like, our job on each every Sunday is to win the game by however we need to win the game. You know, all that matters, what does Jalen say? The main thing's the main thing. How are we going to win this game? And so you do everything you can to win the game. So really the management of Saquon and how he feels good is what is happening Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And quite frankly, that's the same thing that we believe is like the things that you do Monday through Saturday, whether it's training, whether it's taking care of your body, whether it's the work that you put in the film room, whether it's the work you put on the field, are direct indicators of if you're going to win or lose the game or how you're going to perform. And so this is no different. And Saquon just, has a relentless work ethic in everything that he does, and which makes him pretty special.
When you look at the first game when Saquon had the 255 yards against the Rams, how much of a luxury is it, knowing that they have to, pretty much account for that somehow this week, knowing that
we know that everyone's going to account for that, and that's not new to us. They'll see stuff on tape that they'll want to do differently and that they'll want to repeat, and we'll see stuff on tape that we'll want to do differently and we'll want to repeat. You know, I know that'll be a big film that they watch. It's obviously a big film that we'll watch. It's not uncommon, right? We know that we're going to get people's best effort to stop Saquon, and that's just been what we've dealt with all year.
You have quite a few guys in load management right now that you're dealing with. What's the challenge of practicing like that? And do you not worry, like, veteran guys if they're on the practice field or not?
Obviously you want everyone to practice and get ready to go for the game, but it is at this point of the year, and everybody's always in different positions, right? You fight the hard line of being ready to play on Sunday physically and doing the right things throughout the week to make sure you're ready to play, right? And so, if that makes sense, so you just got to fight that constantly. And really, I say this point of year, it's really something that we do throughout the entire year. What's the right amount to get ready for the game and perfect our craft and redefine our skills, and while also being ready to go physically for the grind of a four-quarter, five-quarter game that you're about to play. And so that's something that we deal with each week. We feel like we've done a lot of, again, I get all the information from everybody. Ultimately, I have to make the decisions, but I just got a lot of great people to help me out. to help make those decisions. And, you know, the players, you know, they help me out with that, how their bodies are feeling, and obviously the trainers, doctors, and strength staff.
With how much you relied on younger players on defense this year, what has it taken behind the scenes to develop them?
Yeah, obviously great effort and energy by that player themselves to get themselves ready to go. You know, a lot of work from the coaches to the extra meetings with the coaches to, you know, to make sure that they've that you put them in positions that that they're going to be in the game. And sometimes you can't put them in every position they're going to be in the game out at practice. That's what walkthroughs for. That's what meetings are for. And that's what the extra meetings are for. And so a lot of work by the coaches and the players to get themselves in that. Obviously a phenomenal job by Howie and his staff to get the guys in here that are talented like they, that we have. But yeah, that again, all these things, that's what, and I feel like I said that a bunch today. It's like, yeah, it took this group of people to do that and this group of people to do that. That's what's awesome about an organization. That's what's awesome about football. You know, it's every player working together, every coach working together, every department working together, and we got a special organization.
All right. Thanks, folks.
All right, there it is. The Nick Sirianni press conference there. Midday show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Hugh, a lot to unpack from that press conference there. A couple of, at least one reporter working blue, which we had to take care of there. That's yeah, a new
where,
one, Hugh.
Where he thought, I don't give a shit. He can't be from around these parts. Because what's wrong with you, man? Those words aren't called for in a press conference, are they?
This is a family show. Maybe he didn't know that at the time. So, all right, a couple takeaways from the Sirianni press conference. We're going to have to isolate that audio because I got to be honest. As I was listening, I was like, wait, what, did I hear that correctly? So we'll have some fun with that coming up. Elliot's going to join the show at 1 o'clock. But, Hugh, one thing that stood out there, and it was the second day in a row. I don't think it was just Fangio talking yesterday because Sirianni doubled down on it today, and they referenced him getting a chance to play in Week 18. Hugh, it sounds like we are going to get a chance to get some meaningful snaps at a Jeremiah Trotter Jr. on Sunday. I don't think that was just talk the way Sirianni spoke about it too.
No, I'm excited about it, man. I'm excited to see young Trot go out there and make his bones in the playoffs. Like I said, I think that this is going to end up with him getting a big interception at some point during the game, because I've heard a lot, especially now since N'Kobe Dean is out, about how the pass defense is not the greatest. But I think that young Trot has played with a lot of instincts. I know, even though I haven't talked to him in a while, that he's probably watching films with his pops, and his pops has probably broke down that L.A. film, and they're probably going to tell him different tendencies and all this other stuff that he can see that's going to allow him to have success this weekend. So I can't wait to see it, man. I really, really can't.
Hugh, do you have any concern if he does get playing time that he's being thrown in the biggest games of the year? Now, normally I would as a rookie, maybe not so much with him, Hugh, because like you're saying, he's not your typical rookie. He's lived this his whole life. He's been around it. And obviously, you know, he gets to go home and get extra help, not just from the coaches. Do you have any concern, though? Like, hey, he hasn't played much this year, and now in the biggest moment of the season, he's on the field?
Not really. I know, like, but that's not – put it like this. I am confident that he's going to play well. He's going to make mistakes. I mean, there's no way around that. He's going to make mistakes. But is he going to make mistakes that's going to be a detriment to his development as a player? I don't think so. I don't think so. He's going to go out there, and there's going to be some things that he's not going to do. But the one thing that I feel strongly in saying is that young Trot's going to play with a lot of confidence. And that's the biggest thing that you need on these stages, man. Don't be afraid to go out there and make mistakes. And I think a lot of times when rookies go out there and they play in situations like this, that's the biggest thing that's the biggest monster that you got to battle, is the fact that you're going to make a mistake, and how do you handle that? You go out there, you're going to make mistakes.
You know what?
Yeah. You
yeah,
got
of course.
It.
But sometimes, you know, young players come on the field after not playing much during the season and they have big impact. I mean, I think back to 2017, Corey Clement, when the year started, was an undrafted running back that didn't get much run to start the season because they had so many guys above him on the depth chart, from Darren Sproles, but then eventually he got hurt. LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, the trade. But then you fast forward to the Super Bowl, and there's 100 yards receiving and a huge touchdown from Corey Clement. I'm not saying Trot Jr. is going to, you know, have 20 tackles in the Super Bowl, but I'm, you know, once in a while, a young player has to play, is pressed into duty, and they impact things and play at a really high level. This segment's sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or grinding? Take your car to a locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. All right, let's talk to Sean in Philadelphia, who's up here at WIP. Hey, Sean.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I just want to touch on something that I spoke to you guys earlier in the season about, and that's Jake Elliott. And, you know, we still have concerns about him. I hope people are not just sitting, you know, pretty, thinking that, you know, those big moments in NFL games when it comes down to a field goal kick. You know, I'm scared. I'm scared of Jake Elliott's, you know, his ability to come through for us. What you guys think?
Well, I'll put it this way, Sean.
I'm not as concerned as you are. I mean, I'm concerned, but I'm not scared. Yeah.
It does feel like they're playing with a little bit of fire here. We haven't got fully burnt, but I don't know. Sean, it feels to me like every game there's one kick where he either misses or he almost misses, and I'm holding my breath.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, that kind of stuff concerns me. You know, because basically, you know, as we know, it always comes down to a field goal kick. You know, missing one will lose the game for us. But overall, I think we got the Rams in the bag. I actually won some money off of that Vikings-Rams game because I picked the Rams to win. I didn't see Matthew Stafford losing two in a row. You know, he had to redeem himself from that Seattle loss. So,
well, and look, he played much better than Darnold. Yeah, but Darnold was a mess on Monday. And Sean, good job hitting that one. So here's the bottom line. Here they got away with the Elliott miss of the extra point the other day.
Yeah.
I just keep hoping this thing doesn't come down to an Elliott kick because I'm nervous about it. It just feels like every game I have to hold my breath with the kicker. And at this point, I understand your point on this. Like, what are we going to do? He's the kicker. We've got to live or die with it now.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, we're much ado about something that we cannot do nothing about. You know, I heard John Ritchie talking this morning on the morning show, and he was saying he wished they would have gotten some competition during the regular season. And I hear him, but they didn't. They didn't. And this is the guy that you had to dance with. He's here. He's been clutch for you before. And we're in a position where down the stretch, we're gonna need him. So the best thing for all of us to do, because nothing's going to change, is try to encourage him. As a matter of fact, let's give him a standing ovation every time he goes out there. I mean, that has worked in the past.
I knew you were going to do this.
Yeah, I mean, because, hell, what are we going to do? We got 3 weeks. We got 3 weeks, people. Go ahead and get up off your butt at the game. And when he goes out there to kick the ball, give him a standing ovation. Let him know you're pulling for him.
Because so hold on. Let's say first quarter, he misses a field goal. First quarter, he misses a field goal. You want, like, in the third and fourth quarter tie game, he rolls out there, a standing ovation?
Yeah.
Is that what you're calling for?
Yes.
How do you think that's going to go over in the stadium?
Listen, as much as we've been complaining about the kicker. As much as we've been complaining about the kicker and the quarterback, which either one of those guys we can't change, that's the only recourse we have at this point. If we're trying to make it to Louisiana, are we trying to go to Louisiana or no?
Well, Yes.
Okay, so go ahead and get your ass up and stand up for the kicker.
If it requires an ovation, I'm out.
Stand up for the kicker. Stand up for the kicker and give him a standing O.
Nobody's giving Jake Elliott a standing ovation. He missed an extra point on Sunday.
Y'all really don't want to sacrifice for the Eagles then to get to the Super Bowl. If you can't do that for this guy to give him confidence, then you're not really an Eagles fan. See what I did there, right? Putting pressure on
that's
everybody.
That's strong.
Putting the pressure on everybody.
Yeah, that's not fair to do that. I know. Instead of the Eagles upgrading the kicker, you put this on us to fix.
I put it on, it's on the fans. Hey, listen, right, you better clap for him.
Yeah.
And give him a standing O. It ain't hard.
They're cheering Hugh Douglas.
Just stand up and cheer for him. Suck it up.
No.
215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. Do you feel better or worse after Wild Card Weekend? I don't feel better. A.J. Brown couldn't run. Jalen Hurts had one of the least efficient games you'll ever see in a winning effort, at least the last 10 years. Jake Elliott missed an extra point. I got Hugh over here telling me to give a standing ovation to the kicker. Elliott's going to join us at 1, but we got a couple things to hit when we get back. Hugh's updated take on an incident at the Link and a hypothetical championship game lines. If the Eagles go to Detroit, if Washington comes here, how much are they favored by? How much are they underdogs by? We'll hit that next. 215-592-94. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard on this Wednesday. Elliot will join the show coming up at 1 o'clock. He was just at that press conference. We may be able to clear someone of wrongdoing there. We'll get to that coming up here. But, Hugh, we had a wild card weekend in the NFL. Now we look forward to division round weekend. Hugh, has your mind changed, your feeling changed at all on the Eagles' chances after watching the way they played against the Packers and the way everything else played out, including the Rams now the opponent? Did it change the way you feel about the Eagles' chances to win it all?
Mm-mm, not at all. I'm still excited about it, man. As a matter of fact, I called some kinfolk down there in Texas to try to get some banana pudding when we get to Louisiana. See if they'll make the trip. I am unwavering.
So you think they're going to bring us banana pudding? That's a big deal.
I'm thinking because, you know, it's not that far away. I got to figure out if my cousin, like I'm telling everybody's name like y'all know what I'm talking about. But if Omar's there, Omar will bring it because okay. Omar probably come hang out in Louisiana with us, especially if we go down there and we turn up. So he'll probably come hang out.
That's the agenda to me.
Listen.
Omar, banana pudding.
Yeah, and I got some friends that live in Louisiana. You know, we're going to get a couple po' boys. You know, we got, I'm making plans. I've been calling people. I'm networking this day. Don't you worry, Joe. I got you.
What's that drink?
We get some hand grenades.
Hand grenades, po' boys, and the pudding.
Banana pudding.
Sounds like a trip to me.
Yeah, and then we're going to go to that spot where they put the mask on and everything. We're going to get off into some weird stuff.
That one we may have to just relax.
They got thick wood, hard. They got no, but it should be. Listen, man, it should be a fun outing. It really should be a fun outing. It really, really should be.
So look, here's where I'm at, and I look that would be amazing, and the Eagles are two wins away from that trip to New Orleans that Hugh just laid out what we could be doing down there. But I'd be lying if I said I feel better about the Eagles' chances after watching the first weekend of the postseason. So a couple things: one, pass game again was very blah, to put it lightly. Shio Kapati had a stat this morning that over the last 10 years, there hasn't been a single winning quarterback in the playoffs to be to play at the level Jalen did. In fact, every other winning quarterback the last 10 years was more efficient than Jalen Hurts was in the Eagles' win this past Sunday than, you know, moving forward. Like, we have never seen this in 10 years, a quarterback play to that level of efficiency and win the game. So I can't get that out of my head. Also, the Los Angeles Rams looked really good on Monday, and they've looked good for the past month. They haven't allowed double-digit points. And we're talking about our defense, and we went back and forth all week about 17.8, 17 points per game with the Eagles' defense and how great they have been. The Rams haven't allowed more than 10 in a month now. And I don't exclude week 18 because they were resting their starters. So they're coming in red hot. So I have an Eagles offense not so great right now. Rams coming in red hot. And I look around the NFL, and in most of these games last weekend, the better coach quarterback combination won. And on Sunday, we had that. Even with the up and down passing game, Sirianni and Hurts right now are better than LaFleur and Jordan Love. Moving forward, I don't know how many more times we're going to be able to say that, including this weekend with McVay and Stafford. Look, the Eagles should win this game, but I don't feel better than where we were a month ago, or even a week ago. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Kyle, how are you feeling today as the Eagles get set for the division round? We just heard Sirianni speak. Do you feel better about where the Eagles are at than you did, let's say, before last weekend began?
Definitely not better. I mean, I need to see a much better offensive performance next week before I jump fully back on board with, like, my whole, you know, the Eagles should win the Super Bowl thing. I just feel like a better team lines up against you than the Packers Sunday, and we're sitting here just talking about, you know, we're picking up the pieces of a complete colossal failure of a season. So, like, that's how poorly I feel the offense played. So I that's the one thing that I think is holding me back from, like, fully diving in. I'm not saying I don't expect it next week. I kind of do, actually. I expect the offense to look much better, but just to ease my concerns to a massive degree, I need to see that next week.
Well, I do too. And then on top of everything, between the Eagles passing game being down, the Rams looking like they're playing their best football season, and the fact that most of these games this past weekend, the better coach quarterback combination won, we also lost to Kobe Dean. And we just had the discussion, and Sirianni brought it up yesterday, Fangio brought it up, that maybe Jeremiah Trotter's ready to get some snaps here and he'll be in along with Oren Burks. Whoever it is, though, Nkobe was playing really well. I mean, first of all, I'm bummed for him because he's been through so much. But second, I'm bummed for the Eagles defense because they have been playing amazing football. And Hugh, you seemed to think earlier in the show that, you know, we shouldn't expect a downfall or a downgrade without Nkobe. And I think they can overcome it, Hugh. But that he had been playing really well. It's not just like some player. Like Nkobe, I think he had ascended to playing really, really good football.
He did, man. And it's unfortunate that he's not going to be out there. But I think that there are certain things that you can do. You're going to probably have to go run it, linebacker by committee, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. But these two young men have been groomed to do this. And they have different skill sets from what I've seen. I'm very confident in Jeremiah Trotter Jr. because I know his father. And I've told this story many a times where, you know, Trot would tell me, you know, if I trusted him to do certain things, then I would have more success, just to, you know, dumb it down just a little bit. And I feel like he's taking that same time to teach his son about the intricacies of playing at this level so that the moment is not overwhelming for young Trotter. And that's why I'm confident in it, because I know his father and I know what kind of time his dad put into his preparation as a player. So I would expect that he would put just as much or pour even more into his son so that he could have success. So, yeah, that's why I'm sitting here, man, and I'm very confident about the way that Trotter's going to play. Now, that's not me saying that he's not going to make mistakes. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, I feel like the mistakes that he makes, he's going to learn from on the fly, and he's not going to make the same mistake twice. He has tremendous instincts as a linebacker. I saw that in college, man. And like I said, haven't talked to Trot in a while, but I just feel strongly about his father helping him prepare for this moment.
And he'll be tested. I mean, there's no question in my mind. Like McVay is going to, whoever it is, right, whoever is on the field, Burks or Trot on whatever, you know, play it is and drive it is, that's, you're going to test him. He's the new guy. They just lost a starter. The green dot guy, the guy that called the signals, they're going to test that spot now. And it's the first time in a while that there's a kind of a new variable on this Eagles defense, because they have been playing together and mostly healthy for a long period of time this year. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines. And then I've got some hypothetical spreads for next week. Let's say the Eagles move on. What would they be against the Lions in Detroit? What would they be if the Commanders pull the upset? How big of a favorite would they be over the Commanders here in Philadelphia? I'll hit you with those in a second. First, though, let's go to Russell, who's up next on WIP. What's up, Russell?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all today?
What's going on, man?
Hey, Russell, trying to keep it real. You know, the Rams are hot. They've been, you know, the last month they're, you know, stepping up. And it ain't how you start the season, it's how you finish. You know, December, January football. And you know, the concern is if they put 8 in the box and commit to, you know, shutting down Saquon, 131 yards passing ain't going to cut it. You and I both know that, you know, McVay is going to bring it, and Trotter is going to be tested. And sure, you know, if you're going to make a mistake, but this is the time of year a mistake could cost you the rest of the season. I mean, it's just plain and simple. You got to play mistake-free football come playoffs. And he who can capitalize on the other team's mistakes are probably going to come out victorious. And I know everybody's sleeping on that team up in Washington, but you know, they're wanting the rematch with you guys. But if y'all don't pick it up, y'all not getting past the Rams.
Can I ask you a question, Russell? Since you dropped these dimes on the show, did the Rams defense get bigger? Did they get bigger over the last couple of weeks? They've been playing well. I give you that. But did they get faster? They got faster.
They got faster.
Okay, I give you that. But they're not big enough, and they've shown that the way that we play football, we play big boy football when we went to L.A.
And absolutely.
And the weather is going to be in our favor. So I hear what you're saying. Yeah, but if we stay true to our game plan and we play the way that we know how to play, we play physical Eagles football. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but everything that you talked about, I think it's going to be null and void because of the simple fact that we are bigger and we're more physical than that defensive line of the Rams.
They say,
you know what I think of? And Russell, good phone call, man. Hugh, I think about that game in L.A. and how it started. We know how it finished, right? The Eagles ran all over them down the stretch, and Saquon, you know, got 300 total yards, over 200 rushing. That was the night he really became an MVP candidate, and we all went crazy. But I think about the start. So, Hugh, I was thinking about it this morning. So that game started with the Rams got the ball first, right? Eagles deferred, and they went right down the field, and they fumbled. And then the next possession, they went right down the field, and I think they got a field goal. So, like, they moved the ball the first two possessions. Mm-hmm. If my memory serves, they only got three total points out of it. And then our defense kind of clamped down, and they didn't do much else. It feels like I hear your point and how much bigger and physical we are. And I think if the Eagles could get the lead again or it's close, we'll wear them out. What I think is so important this week is we can't – if we fall behind, I think their speed on defense, it changes the equation. Right? They could be more in pass defense.
But I look at it like this, Joe. Again, the Rams are unique in the sense that they're going to come in and they're going to try to throw the football. And as we've seen over the past couple of weekends, teams that do that outside – because Matt Stafford's a different quarterback, but teams that try to do that, they haven't had that much success. So – again, you're playing the laws of averages right now, in my opinion. Because if I'm going out there, if you're trying to throw the ball all around the schoolyard to have success in order to beat us, that's not – to me, that's not a good game plan. Because your receiver – Cooper Kupp is not the guy that he once was. Puka Nacua, I'm assuming that – and I might be wrong – that this is the first time he's going to play in something this inclement weather. And like I said, man, when you are not used to playing in this – you don't want to be touched by nobody. And this Eagles defense is going to do a whole lot of putting hands on people in order to get, you know, to will their outcome on them this weekend. And it's going to be cold. So that's something where, you know, you're throwing the ball as much as you're throwing it because your running game isn't there. Then you're putting the ball in harm's way, in my opinion. And I think that's going to work well for the Eagles going into this game. Because of this, we run the ball. And we know our quarterback isn't playing well. But like I've been saying for the last 3 years that I've been on this station, your biggest asset in the playoffs is a strong running game. And if you take away the little bit of running game that the Rams have and you force them to throw the ball, I can almost guarantee you there's going to be some flubs. There's going to be some mishaps because that's a whole lot of throwing the football in the playoffs, dog. It really, really is. And the weather's going to start.
Especially if the weather's not good.
Yeah, man, yep. And the weather's going to be cold. If you take away that one aspect of the game from them because they don't run the ball well, then that's a whole different ball game.
Yep, the other thing we got to do on Sunday better than we did last Sunday is tackle. The Eagles have become a great tackling team. This past Sunday, they missed more than normal. That we can't have that, especially against Nacua, because then he'll make some big plays. All right, before we head back to the phones here, we got to get Hugh's reaction to a viral story that's taken on a life of its own here. Hugh, I'm looking at, over at FanDuel, hypothetical spreads for next week. All right, let's play it out. Let's say the Eagles move on and they're in the NFC Championship game. I have in front of me right now what the Eagles would be against the Lions in Detroit and what they would be at home against the Commanders. Hugh, which one you want to hear first? On the road in Detroit or here against the Commanders?
I want to hear the one in Detroit.
Okay. If the Eagles are in Detroit next week, the look ahead, they're calling it a hypothetical matchup, obviously, because it's not set yet. But the Eagles right now are put as a 2.5-point underdog against the Lions.
That's not bad. I thought it was going to be like 6, but that's not bad.
Oh.
No, I just, I don't know the damn stat line or whatever, the bet line. I just thought it would be 6.
Yeah, 3.5, 4 maybe.
Yeah.
But it's 2.5. So that tells me they think it's about a coin flip game. Lions, slight advantage with the home field. Hugh, if the Eagles are at home next week, if the Commanders pull off an upset this Saturday and they're the opponent, the Eagles on the hypothetical line are 6.5-point favorites over the Washington Commanders.
Oh, so I had it reversed. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's not bad.
So 6.5 over the – actually, before the show, I threw these at Kyle. Kyle nailed these. The official Kyle Quinn lines, I guess.
I'm a sharp.
Similar to the sharp Quinn over here?
I'm not sure if you knew that about me, but I set a lot Kyle Quinn hypothetical spreads. I was doing that a lot last year. I thought I did a really good job.
What did you make of them, Kyle? What did you make of it?
I mean, considering that I hit them right on the head, I think they're – pretty much appropriate. The Lions minus 2.5. Yeah. And I think if you look at the, it would be Lions versus Rams hypothetical spread. That's also Lions 6.5 against the Rams, which kind of tells me they view the Lions and Eagles pretty equally. But the difference in that matchup, the minus 2.5 comes from the Lions being in Detroit.
Yep. And the Commanders won. Look, that would be wild if we get a home title game. And look, at that point, you couldn't overlook the Commanders. I mean, heck, they'd be in the title game. But that's the numbers right now. Eagles 2.5 over the Detroit or underdogs in Detroit. All right, before we go back to the phones, Hugh, we need your reaction to this. So this became a viral story over the past couple days. We've all seen it by now, right? So you have the fan in the crowd at the Link on Sunday. And he yelled some awful stuff at a pair of Packers fans, including a woman. The video was out there. His name was put out there. I don't think we need to put his name out there and keep talking about his name. But his name was put out there. And it obviously got back to who he was. People found him. So it was a big thing to go and find this guy and say, hey, this guy, he was wrong in what he did. And I agree the word he said he shouldn't use. But Hugh, the story is taking on now a twist because now – the Packers fans that came, sounds like they like to go to opposing games and YouTube page and maybe they look. I don't know what happened, but the sense is maybe they were part of the instigation before the nonsense occurred.
I mean, that's a possibility. That happens, but still, you have to choose not to engage. And I know I sound like a hypocrite right now because I engage all the time on Twitter, so much so that I've gotten in trouble for it, but. That's neither here nor there. You can't when you know it's a setup, man. You just got to back off when you know it's a setup, and that's basically what it was. I saw the video. They were like, you know, online people are talking about how this guy was wronged and how his life's been ruined. I don't see it that way. I really don't because you make the choice. The last interaction that I saw, and you're right, I didn't see the whole clip and how it started, anything like that. But I did see the interaction where. Unsolicited, he called that lady out her name when she was looking ahead, watching the game, and he took it upon himself to call her that name. And that part was unsolicited. Whatever had happened before, the conversation was deaded. Nobody was saying anything to anybody. And I guess when the Eagles scored or whatever, you leaned over and you called the lady out of her name. That there's no excuse for that. And you have to know. Who doesn't know in this day and age? Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody's cell phone has a camera. Everybody is looking for that viral moment. We live in a world and in a society right now where when we go out in public, if we get into, say, for instance, even I know this, as petty as I am, if I get into an altercation, say I'm at Chicken and Pizza, somewhere like that, that's a moment that could potentially go viral. And there will be some consequences for that. Regardless of what happened or what was said to me or anything like that, I know that that moment has the potential to go viral. That's why even when I'm out, I try to be aware of my surroundings at all times, and I try to compose myself in a way where I don't put myself in that situation because I know, you know, I don't know how to act. I mean, I know that about me. I know I don't know how to act. So I try to stay out of those situations because everybody has a phone. And every time that I have a retort or I say something slick to somebody and they keep going, there's a good chance that however I feel about that moment, that is not going to go in my favor. That's just about it. That's just how it is. And for whatever reason, this is what I find crazy, Joe, about all of this, is that for some strange reason, these cats go to the game. They put their little Eagles gear on. And they act a whole donkey. They drink all the liquor they want to drink, and they act a fool at the game. And for whatever reason, they feel like they're invincible and ain't nobody going to find them if they act a fool. And it has been proven time and time again that they will find you. Somebody will find you.
Those days are over, yeah. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, of course.
Somebody will find you.
Right. Whether it's a GoPro or it's just a regular, whatever, iPhone. Like, everyone has a camera everywhere. The crazy part is that in 2 days it went from, let's get that guy, and his name got out there, and he's got consequences, and it's his own fault for what he said. And now people are mad at the people, the Packers fans who came in. It's a crazy story. Yeah, Hugh, for you, we just want you to go viral for the things you say on this show.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it, man. Yeah. I tell you, because it's funny, because in people, there are people out there that – they live for, I guess, the drama, because there's been times.
Yeah.
Listen, there, like, this is the truth. There's been times that people have said something to me, and I've retweeted it or I've posted it, and when I post it, people will tweet me and give me the address and the information about that person. I don't act on it, but I'm just saying that's just how. Like, there's nothing that you do nowadays, and you have to realize this. There's nothing that you do nowadays that will keep you from being anonymous. Like, seriously, you can sit there, you could call, like, you could call people out their name, you could say all this other stuff. But if somebody really puts forth the effort, you are not hard to find, and you need to realize that and just chill out. Just chill out.
Yeah, I think that's been shown this weekend for sure. This whole story is wild. I mean, just from the beginning to the end now, it has all these wacky layers. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop on. Coming up, we'll get to everyone's phone call in the 1 o'clock hour. We're going to have to ask Elliot, and we'll get to the bottom of someone working blue at an Eagles press conference. Did this past weekend make you feel better or worse about an Eagles Super Bowl run? That's coming up. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard on this Wednesday. Elliot will join the show coming up at 1 o'clock. He was just at that press conference. We may be able to clear someone of wrongdoing there. We'll get to that coming up here. But, Hugh, we had a wild card weekend in the NFL. Now we look forward to division round weekend. Hugh, has your mind changed, your feeling changed at all on the Eagles' chances after watching the way they played against the Packers and the way everything else played out, including the Rams now the opponent? Did it change the way you feel about the Eagles' chances to win it all?
Mm-mm, not at all. I'm still excited about it, man. As a matter of fact, I called some kinfolk down there in Texas to try to get some banana pudding when we get to Louisiana. See if they'll make the trip. I am unwavering.
So you think they're going to bring us banana pudding? That's a big deal if they can do that.
I'm thinking because, you know, it's not that far away. I got to figure out if my cousin, I'm telling everybody's name like y'all know what I'm talking about. But if Omar's there, Omar will bring it because Omar will probably come hang out in Louisiana with us, especially if we go down there and we turn up. So he'll probably come hang out.
That's the agenda to me.
Oh, I got a call. Listen.
Omar, banana pudding.
Yeah, and I got some friends that live in Louisiana. You know, we're going to get a couple po' boys. You know, we got, I'm making plans. I've been calling people. I'm networking this thing. Don't you worry, Joe. I got you.
What's that drink?
We get some hand grenades.
Hand grenades, po' boys, and the pudding.
Banana pudding.
Sounds like a trip to me.
Yeah, and then we're going to go to that spot where they put the mask on and everything. We're going to get off into some weird stuff.
That one we may have to just relax.
They got thick wood hard they got no but it
That's
should be
a perfect
listen
time
man
for the drop.
it should be a fun outing. It really should be a fun outing. It really, really should be.
So look, here's where I'm at, and I look that would be amazing, and the Eagles are two wins away from that trip to New Orleans that Hugh just laid out what we could be doing down there. But I'd be lying if I said I feel better about the Eagles' chances after watching the first weekend of the postseason. So a couple things. One, pass game again was very blah, to put it lightly. Shio Kapati had a stat this morning that over the last 10 years, there hasn't been a single winning quarterback in the playoffs to be to play at the level Jalen did. In fact, every other winning quarterback the last 10 years was more efficient than Jalen Hurts was in the Eagles' win this past Sunday than, you know, moving forward. Like, we have never seen this in 10 years, a quarterback play to that level of efficiency and win the game. So that I can't get that out of my head. Also, the Los Angeles Rams looked really good on Monday, and they've looked good for the past month. They haven't allowed double-digit points. And we're talking about our defense, and we went back and forth all week about 17.8, 17 points per game with the Eagles' defense and how great they have been. The Rams haven't allowed more than 10 in a month now. And I don't exclude Week 18 because they were resting their starters. So they're coming in red hot. So I have an Eagles offense not so great right now. Rams coming in red hot. And I look around the NFL, and in most of these games last weekend, the better coach-quarterback combination won. And on Sunday, we had that. Even with the up-and-down passing game, Sirianni and Hurts right now are better than LaFleur and Jordan Love. Moving forward, I don't know how many more times we're going to be able to say that, including this weekend with McVay and Stafford. Look, the Eagles should win this game, but I don't feel better than where we were a month ago, or even a week ago. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. Kyle, how you feeling today as the Eagles get set for the division round? We just heard Sirianni speak. Do you feel better about where the Eagles are at than you did, let's say, before last weekend began?
Definitely not better. I mean, I need to see a much better offensive performance next week before I jump fully back on board with, like, my whole, you know, the Eagles should win the Super Bowl thing. I just feel like a better team lines up against you than the Packers Sunday, and we're sitting here just talking about, you know, we're picking up the pieces of a complete colossal failure of a season. So, like, that's how poorly I feel the offense played. So I that's the one thing that I think is holding me back from, like, fully diving in. I'm not saying I don't expect it next week. I kind of do, actually. I expect the offense to look much better, but just to ease my concerns to a massive degree, I need to see that next week.
Well, I do too. And then on top of everything, between the Eagles passing game being down, the Rams looking like they're playing their best football season, and the fact that most of these games this past weekend, the better coach quarterback combination won, we also lost to Kobe Dean. And we just had the discussion, and Sirianni brought it up yesterday, Fangio brought it up, that maybe Jeremiah Trotter's ready to get some snaps here and he'll be in along with Oren Burks. Whoever it is, though, Nicobe was playing really well. I mean, I'm bummed for him because he's been through so much. But second, I'm bummed for the Eagles defense because they have been playing amazing football. And Hugh, you seemed to think earlier in the show that, you know, we shouldn't expect a downfall or a downgrade without Nicobe. And I think they can overcome it, Hugh, but that he had been playing really well. It's not just like some player. Like Nicobe, I think he had ascended to playing really, really good football.
He did, man. And it's unfortunate that he's not going to be out there, but I think that there are certain things that you can do. You're going to probably have to go run it, linebacker by committee, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. But these two young men have been groomed to do this, and they have different skill sets from what I've seen. I'm very confident in Jeremiah Trotter Jr. because I know his father. And I've told this story many a times where, you know, Trot would tell me, you know, if I trusted him to do certain things, then I would have more success, just to, you know, dumb it down just a little bit. And I feel like he's taking that same time to teach his son about the intricacies of playing at this level so that the moment is not overwhelming for young Trotter. And that's why I'm confident in it, because I know his father and I know what kind of time his dad put into his preparation as a player. So I would expect that he would put just as much or pour even more into his son so that he could have success. So, yeah, that's why I'm sitting here, man, and I'm very confident about the way that Trotter's going to play. Now, that's not me saying that he's not going to make mistakes. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, I feel like the mistakes that he makes, he's going to learn from on the fly, and he's not going to make the same mistake twice. He has tremendous instincts as a linebacker. I saw that in college, man. And like I said, haven't talked to Trot in a while, but I just feel strongly about his father helping him prepare for this moment.
And he'll be tested. I mean, there's no question in my mind. Like McVay is going to, whoever it is, right over on the field, Burks or Trot on whatever, you know, play it is and drive it is, that's, you're going to test him. He's the new guy. They just lost a starter. The green dot guy, the guy that called the signals, they're going to test that spot now. And it's the first time in a while that there's a kind of a new variable on this Eagles defense because they have been playing together and mostly healthy for a long period of time this year. 215-592-9494. Let's go to the phone lines. And then I've got some hypothetical spreads for next week. Let's say the Eagles move on. What would they be against the Lions in Detroit? What would they be if the Commanders pull the upset? How big of a favorite would they be over the Commanders here in Philadelphia? I'll hit you with those in a second. First, though, let's go to Russell, who's up next on WIP. What's up, Russell?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all today?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I'm trying to keep it real. You know, the Rams are hot. They've been, you know, the last month they're, you know, stepping up. And it ain't how you start the season, it's how you finish. You know, December, January football. And you know, the concern is if they put eight in the box and commit to, you know, shutting down Saquon, 131 yards passing ain't going to cut it. You and I both know that, you know, McVay's going to bring it, and Trotter is going to be tested. And sure, you know, if you're going to make a mistake, but this is the time of year a mistake could cost you the rest of the season. I mean, it's just plain and simple. You got to play mistake-free football come playoffs. And he who can capitalize on the other team's mistakes are probably going to come out victorious. And I know everybody's sleeping on that team up in Washington, but you know, they're wanting the rematch with you guys. But if y'all don't pick it up, y'all not getting past the Rams.
Can I ask you a question, Russell? Since you dropped these dimes on the show, did the Rams defense get bigger? Did they get bigger over the last couple of weeks? They've been playing well. I give you that. But
they got faster.
They got faster. Okay, I give you that. But they're not big enough, and that they've shown that the way that we play football, we play big boy football when we went to L.A.
And absolutely.
And the weather is going to be in our favor. So I hear what you're saying. Yeah, but if we stay true to our game plan and we play the way that we know how to play, we play physical Eagles football. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but everything that you talk about, I think, is going to be null and void because of the simple fact that we are bigger and we're more physical than that defensive line of the Rams.
You know what I think of? And, Russell, good phone call, man. Hugh, I think about that game in L.A. and how it started. We know how it finished, right? The Eagles ran all over them down the stretch, and Saquon, you know, got 300 total yards, over 200 rushing. That was the night he really became an MVP candidate, and we all went crazy. But I think about the start. So, Hugh, I was thinking about it this morning. So that game started with the Rams got the ball first, right? Eagles deferred. And they went right down the field, and they fumbled. And then the next possession, they went right down the field. And I think they got a field goal. So, like, they moved the ball the first two possessions. Mm-hmm. If my memory serves, they only got three total points out of it. And then our defense kind of clamped down.
Yeah.
And they didn't do much else. It feels like I hear your point and how much bigger and physical we are. And I think if the Eagles could get the lead again or it's close, we'll wear them out. What I think is so important this week is we can't – if we fall behind, I think their speed on defense, it changes the equation. Right?
They could be
more in pass defense.
But I look at it like this, Joe. Again, the Rams are unique in the sense that they're going to come in and they're going to try to throw the football. And as we've seen over the past couple of weekends, teams that do that outside – because Matt Stafford's a different quarterback. But teams that try to do that, they haven't had that much success. So – again, you're playing the laws of averages right now, in my opinion. Because if I'm going out there, if you're trying to throw the ball all around the schoolyard to have success in order to beat us, that's not a good game plan. Because your receiver, Cooper Kupp, is not the guy that he once was. Puka Nacua, I'm assuming that, and I might be wrong, that this is the first time he's going to play in something this inclement weather. And like I said, man, when you are not used to playing in this, you don't want to be touched by nobody. And this Eagles defense is going to do a whole lot of putting hands on people in order to get, you know, to will their outcome on them this weekend. And it's going to be cold. So that's something where, you know, you're throwing the ball as much as you're throwing it because your running game isn't there. Then you're putting the ball in harm's way, in my opinion. And I think that's going to work well for the Eagles going into this game. Because of this, we run the ball. And we know our quarterback isn't playing well. But like I've been saying for the last 3 years that I've been on this station, your biggest asset in the playoffs is a strong running game. And if you take away the little bit of running game that the Rams have and you force them to throw the ball, I can almost guarantee you there's going to be some flubs. There's going to be some mishaps because that's a whole lot of throwing the football in the playoffs, dog. It really, really is. And the weather's going to start.
Especially if the weather's not good.
Yeah, man, yep. And the weather's going to be cold. If you take away that one aspect of the game from them because they don't run the ball well, then that's a whole different ball game.
Yep. The other thing we got to do on Sunday better than we did last Sunday is tackle. The Eagles have become a great tackling team. This past Sunday, they missed more than normal. That we can't have that, especially against Nacua, because then he'll make some big plays. All right, before we head back to the phones here, and we got to get Hugh's reaction to a viral story that's taken on a life of its own here. Hugh, I'm looking at over at FanDuel hypothetical spreads for next week. All right, let's play it out. Let's say the Eagles move on and they're in the NFC Championship game. I have in front of me right now what the Eagles would be against the Lions in Detroit and what they would be at home against the Commanders. Hugh, which one you want to hear first? On the road in Detroit or here against the Commanders?
I want to hear the one in Detroit.
Okay. If the Eagles are in Detroit next week, the look ahead, they're calling it a hypothetical matchup, obviously, because it's not set yet. But the Eagles right now are put as a 2.5-point underdog against the Lions.
That's not bad. I thought it was going to be like 6, but that's not bad.
Oh.
No, I don't know the damn stat line or whatever, the bet line. I just thought it would be 6.
Yeah, 3.5, 4 maybe.
Yeah.
But it's 2.5. So that tells me they think it's about a coin flip game. Lions, slight advantage with the home field. Hugh, if the Eagles are at home next week, if the Commanders pull off an upset this Saturday and they're the opponent, the Eagles on the hypothetical line are 6.5-point favorites over the Washington Commanders.
Oh, so I had it reversed. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, that's not bad.
So 6.5 over the – actually, before the show, I threw these at Kyle. Kyle nailed these. The official Kyle Quinn lines, I guess.
I'm a sharp.
Similar to the sharp Quinn over here?
I'm not sure if you knew that about me, but I set a lot Kyle Quinn hypothetical spreads. I was doing that a lot last year. I thought I did a really good job.
What did you make of them, Kyle? What did you make of it?
I mean, considering that I hit them right on the head, I think they're – pretty much appropriate. The Lions minus 2.5. And I think if you look at it would be Lions versus Rams hypothetical spread. That's also Lions 6.5 against the Rams, which kind of tells me they view the Lions and Eagles pretty equally. But the difference in that matchup, the minus 2.5 comes from the Lions being in Detroit.
And the Commanders won. Look, that would be wild if we get a home title game. And look, at that point, you couldn't overlook the Commanders. I mean, heck, they'd be in the title game. But that's the numbers right now. Eagles 2.5 over the Detroit or underdogs in Detroit. All right, before we go back to the phones, Hugh, we need your reaction to this. So this became a viral story over the past couple days. We've all seen it by now, right? So you have the fan in the crowd at the Link on Sunday. And he yelled some awful stuff at a pair of Packers fans, including a woman. The video was out there. His name was put out there. I don't think we need to put his name out there and keep talking about his name. But his name was put out there. And it obviously got back to who he was. People found him. So it was a big thing to go and find this guy and say, hey, this guy, he was wrong in what he did. And I agree the word he said he shouldn't use. But Hugh, the story has taken on now a twist because now – the Packers fans that came, sounds like they like to go to opposing games and YouTube page and maybe they look. I don't know what happened, but the sense is maybe they were part of the instigation before the nonsense occurred.
I mean, that's a possibility. That happens, but still, you have to choose not to engage. And I know I sound like a hypocrite right now because I engage all the time on Twitter, so much so that I've gotten in trouble for it. But that's neither here nor there. You can't – when you know it's a setup, man, you just got to back off when you know it's a setup. And that's basically what it was. I saw the video. There were, like, you know, online, people are talking about how this guy was wronged and how his life's been ruined. I don't see it that way. I really don't, because you make the choice. The last interaction that I saw – and you're right, I didn't see the whole clip and how it started, anything like that. But I did see the interaction where, unsolicited, he called that lady out her name. When she was looking ahead, watching the game, and he took it upon himself to call her that name. And that part was unsolicited. Whatever had happened before, the conversation was deaded. Nobody was saying anything to anybody. And I guess when the Eagles scored or whatever, you leaned over and you called the lady out of her name. That there's no excuse for that. And you have to know, who doesn't know in this day and age? Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody's cell phone has a camera. Everybody is looking for that viral moment. We live in a world and in a society right now where when we go out in public, if we get into, say, for instance, even I know this, as petty as I am, if I get into an altercation, say I'm at Chicken and Pizza somewhere like that, that's a moment that could potentially go viral. And there will be some consequences for that. Regardless of what happened or what was said to me or anything like that, I know that that moment has the potential to go viral. That's why even when I'm out, I try to be aware of my surroundings at all times. And I try to compose myself in a way where I don't put myself in that situation because I know, you know, I don't know how to act. I mean, I know that about me. I know I don't know how to act. So I try to stay out of those situations because everybody has a phone. And every time that I have a retort or I say something slick to somebody and they keep going, there's a good chance that however I feel about that moment, that is not going to go in my favor. That's just about it. That's just how it is. And for whatever reason, this is what I find crazy, Joe, about all of this, is that for some strange reason, these cats go to the game, they put their little Eagles gear on, and they act a whole donkey. They drink all the liquor they want to drink, and they act a fool at the game. And for whatever reason, they feel like they're invincible and ain't nobody going to find them if they act a fool. And it has been proven time and time again that they will find you. Somebody will find you.
Oh, those days are over.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, of course.
Somebody will find you.
Right. Whether it's a GoPro or it's just a regular, whatever, iPhone. But like, everyone has a camera everywhere. The crazy part is in 2 days it went from, let's get that guy, and his name got out there, and he's got consequences, and it's his own fault for what he said. And now people are mad at the Packers fans who came in. It's a crazy story. Yeah, Hugh, for you, we just want you to go viral for the things you say on this show.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it, man. Yeah. I tell you, because it's funny, because there are people out there that – they live for, I guess, the drama, because been times.
To poke people. Yeah,
listen, there. Like, this is the truth. There's been times that people have said something to me, and I've retweeted it or I've posted it. And when I post it, people will tweet me and give me the address and the information about that person. I don't act on it, but I'm just saying that's just how. Like, there's nothing that you do nowadays, and you have to realize this. There's nothing that you do nowadays that will keep you from being anonymous. Like, seriously, you could sit there, you could call, like, you could call people out their name, you could say all this other stuff. But if somebody really puts forth the effort, you are not hard to find, and you need to realize that and just chill out. Just chill out.
Yeah, I think that's been shown this weekend for sure. What this whole story is wild. I mean, just from the beginning to the end now, it has all these wacky layers. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop on. Coming up, we'll get to everyone's phone call in the 1 o'clock hour. We're gonna have to ask Elliot, and we'll get to the bottom of someone working blue at an Eagles press conference. Did this past weekend make you feel better or worse about an Eagles Super Bowl run? That's coming up. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.